We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Subscribers to NewOrleans.football get access to all of our news analysis, the members only podcast, the walkthrough video, and so much more. Make sure you are signed up to get signed up for draft season and get all of our analysis on that process. NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. Welcome back to another episode of NewOrleans.football presented by PJ's Coffee. We are coming to you from our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, right next to Matt Bauer's Ford dealership. They got the new showroom over there, so if you need a new car, make sure you go check him out there or one of his many other locations throughout the region. He has pretty much every type of car dealership, but the consistent thing throughout all of them, best customer care, best prices, best car buying experience you can have. Make sure you go and check him out. We got a good show for you guys today. We're going to break down some of the offensive linemen in this draft, look at different quarterback values throughout the NFC, and so much more. Mike Triplett's back with us. Brandon Thomas is going to get tried to a host, and we're going to see how that goes. He survived the cut on the first round. Let's see if he gets there again. We're going to find out right after this break on this new episode of Survivor. The NewOrleans.football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hat Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company has a great engagement salon, so make sure you go and check that out. Get the engagement ring of your woman's dreams. Make sure she gets the right diamond, and they'll get you the best thing that you can afford. Beautiful clarity, all that stuff. Check out Ken and his team there. They will get you right for your big day. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee necklace and earrings that you see on the screen right now. The earrings are priced at $1,100. The necklace is $1,350. Tell them that NOF sent you. All right, we got Brandon Thomas back here on the mic. Be on the mic. Let's see. Show us what you got, man. Let's see what you got for round two.
Let's get it.
All right.
You ready? Mike, you good?
I'm good, man.
All right, let's hit it.
Sorry to take your seat.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. I like it over here. I'm good. All right, let's hit the lead topic, guys. What does the Saints O-line look like depending on their first round pick?
I mean, it's an interesting conversation, really, because I think it could look a lot of different ways. And, you know, I was kind of looking at it early on when we started talking about this through the lens of right tackle, left tackle, and I was favoring guys I could play on the left side. So, like, makes me think that, like, someone like Fuaga has less value. But then, hold up. Like, we're looking at this the wrong way. There might be more of a void on the right side than the left side, if we're being honest, because at least there's potential hope with Trevor Penning. Like, if Trevor Penning comes back and plays on the left side, I kind of honestly do not think that we're ever going to see Ryan Ramczyk play football again. Like, if I had to guess right now, I think his career is probably more likely over than it is to resume again. So the idea that, like, I was kind of downgrading guys based on left versus right, and I don't know, like, I was doing some gardening yesterday, and, like, the thought hit me, and I was just like, wait a minute. And, like, we've kind of been saying it all along, like, this could be the end of Ramczyk. But it's like one of those things.
All these guys that play right tackle in college, cool. If they stay there, there's a need there too.
We've kept the Ramczyk thing like in the tuck as like a if, a maybe. And it's just kind of like, wait a minute. Like, this is real. This is very, very real.
And even if there is anything left to Ryan Ramczyk's career, it's not long term. And
yeah, you want to replace him.
Yeah. I mean, and look, they probably need a new left tackle and a new right tackle. But guys don't have to be moved. And yeah, that's what is so interesting about this. And you had the article on the website where you actually studied these guys and projected how they might fit in the Saints' new offense. Now, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but the questions people have been asking, like, all right, who can actually, you know, run block in an outside zone scheme? Who would play left tackle? Who would you move to guard? Who would you move to right tackle? And what else is interesting is, all right, what does that mean the rest of the starting lineup looks like? Which I think is really interesting. Now, that doesn't mean don't draft a left tackle. I think we both agree the top two guys on the list, Joe Alt, Olufashinu, I think we agree, go ahead and take them and put them at left tackle. That's fine too, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you're fine with either one. Look, I mean, the fact if you can get someone that kind of has that right side ability right away, like that might be a good thing. Like, we just don't know what Penning's going to be. And you could draft someone that's left-handed and isn't ambidextrous. Like, that isn't a guarantee either. So that's something they kind of got to figure out throughout this process. Like, Fashanu is someone that I like a lot. You know, Joe Alt's not. Like, let's alternate right off him because, like, he's
but
not going to be there.
In theory, if you draft a bona fide left tackle, like, and that guy has played left tackle, first of all, these uniforms are incredible. Good graphic by Brandon Edwin. Maybe the two best uniforms in college football. But anyway, these guys, I wouldn't move them away from left tackle, I don't think. I mean, I think Trevor Penning has to move if you draft one of these two guys, don't you think?
It just depends on who can do it better. At that point, you kind of got to get your best configuration on the field at that point. Now, you don't want to hinder somebody for the benefit of Penning and get less out of them, but it's kind of like the same thing that happened when they drafted Cesar Ruiz. Like, they wanted to put McCoy at guard, and then it just kind of didn't. It just never fully translated to that, so you kind of get them in the spots. And
but I think your best guy gets his best position. Maybe that's how I'd want to do it.
Maybe, but like, what if you don't have another guy? And Penning's your best left tackle, and Fashanu's your best right.
Penning would have to earn that.
And you're kind of getting a little bit less of Fashanu, but you can't get anything out of Penning on the right. But if getting those two guys on the field is better than having, you know, Ollie or whatever his name is, or James Hurst out there, I think you kind of got to go with what you can get on the field at their best thing. Like, it's a tough situation to be in, but I think that's kind of what you got to do.
Let's call it Fashanu. And you studied him, and I'm kind of curious for your thoughts about how well you like him at either left tackle or right tackle. But give me your and you can add this in too. You can add in the sign in the veterans on May 1st. You know, if you want to bring Andrus Peat, Mekhi Becton into this or whatever. Tell me what you want to. You want to show up to OTAs. You drafted Olufashinu in the first round. Give me, all right, while we install the offense, this is the first thing I'm going to look at. Guys, first day of practice, what's your starting five look like?
A training camp with him on
or even OTAs, mini camp. Like, you know, when you install, you have to pick a position for them first where they're going to learn before you find out if they can do a second position. So what's your lineup if you draft Fashanu?
I mean, if we're going out there the first day of mini camp, like the very first mini camp, and we're not locking in for anything, like I'm putting Trevor Penning at left tackle, and I'm putting whoever else on the right side, and I'm going to see
even Vashanu. Yeah, the because guy trying out a new position.
I already know that Penning can't play on the left side, on the right side. He can't play on the left. Like, so I'm trying to get him doing what he's done, and I'm trying to get the other guy over there. And then if I got to bump Penning off and move him over and try Penning on the bench or somewhere else or a guard or whatever, but you know, I think my greatest hope at the beginning is that Penning can be my left tackle and whoever else can be my right tackle. And is it going to work out?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea.
Do you sign Mekhi Becton or Pete, or are you okay with those two guys?
Oh, I got to – no. I got to have a vet.
Yeah, you're adding a vet.
Absolutely.
And so maybe Fashanu is the number two left tackle even in OTAs and minicamp until you see what he has, right?
Maybe you make him earn it. But, I mean, I think, you know, you draft someone at 14, I kind of think you got to put him in the starter thing kind of right away. I mean, we've seen him have to earn it before, but I think that you're putting him out there. If you're drafting someone at 14 without the intent of, like, immediately making him a starter, like, I got to question the pick at that point.
And who's your left guard?
Nick Saldivari.
Yeah.
First day of minicamp, that's what I want. Yeah. Do they start it out like that? Do they make him earn it? Whatever.
Maybe Hurst with the first, Saldivari with the second, but with the intent that Saldivari can
earn it. Here's the thing, though. Like, this coaching staff, it's clean across the board. So, I don't know if, you know, the vet has the inside. I don't know why you would even have to do that. Like, I think you just kind of start it out. And I think it's very clear to me that for an offense that's going to value lateral movement kind of over anything else with the offensive lineman, that James Hurst is not an answer. I don't even think he fits. I don't think he fits, like, anywhere. Like, I think you have to replace him.
That's part of the reason why you want a Becton or a Pete, probably.
He can move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I need to pay for Becton or Pete. If I get the guy in the first round, they've got Oli Udo that they signed. He's kind of their veteran with starting experience. I bet we see him at right tackle first day of camp. I bet we see Fashanu and Penning rotating at left tackle. I bet we see Hurst and Saldivari rotating at left guard. The only question is, do I need to sign a different right tackle to move ahead of the guy they just signed, Udo? I bet it's Udo and Landon Young rotating at right tackle.
Here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. If I think that's dangerous. So, like,
it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
If Penning isn't ready, you're one injury away from absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Like, what has Landon Young shown?
I know.
Like, he's hung around in the league for 3 years. It's a winning pick. He's given you depth, but as a starter, I can't get there.
Nope. It's dangerous, that's for sure.
All right, guys, let's roll over to page two with the next set, the possible left tackle, right tackle, or left guard. First, we have J.C. Latham, right tackle for Alabama, Troy Fa'utanu from Washington, and then Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State.
Handled that degree of difficulty. All right, I want to hear Nick first on this because you study these guys. We got it on the graphic. What, Latham right tackle? Fa'utanu was a left tackle, but I think people think maybe left guard. Then Fuaga was a right tackle, maybe a right tackle, maybe a guard. What's your vision for these guys first and foremost? Where do you think they would play best in the NFL for the Saints?
Well, I think Latham and Fuaga are both, I think they're right. I think they're right tackles. I mean, I think that's my beef with Fuaga. When we were talking about him before, when I was kind of like, I got him way behind the other guys and I think everyone's wrong. I think I was wrong on that. I think my analysis had a blind spot on it. And I think the fact that he can play on the right side, that's not, and probably not left tackle, I think is not an issue given what we said kind of leading up into this. And I think I approached my initial analysis with a blind spot, and I'm altering it a little bit. I just, you know, I think I was looking at it the wrong way. And sometimes you got to correct it.
Very much worth noting that you noted, and you and Brandon talked about it the other night. He's by far got the most exposure to the outside zone run game, run blocking that the Saints are expected to do under Clint Kubiak. And he was a pretty good run blocker too, right? From what you saw on tape, wouldn't you say?
Fuaga?
Yeah.
He was really good. Yeah. I mean, I think out of all the guys, he's the one that has the most experience in the outside zone stuff. Like, there was ample amount of reps there that you were able to watch, and that makes the projection a lot easier. But I think all these guys kind of have the movement skills to be able to do it. It's a lot of lateral stuff. I like Latham the most out of all these guys. I think that he's just kind of, I think there's some stuff with him that you probably want to see, like a little bit of seasoning in a couple spots, but that's all of them, I think. But he has a tremendous amount of upside. You know, I like the size and the movement ability. I think it kind of makes him rare with how he's able to move he's built like a guard, plays like a tackle, and that makes him really good. I think either one of those guys, I think you're fine with them. I think that, you know, today as I sit here, I don't know that there's like a necessarily someone you have circled, but I think absolutely almost 100% that best available tackle is going to be the pick of 14.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I think you're okay with any of them, honestly.
I like all three.
Yeah.
It's, I'm more curious also about the domino effect. Latham is the one who is kind of campaigning to play left tackle. He like he was a left tackle at IMG Academy, the same place that Cesar Ruiz came from. And the only reason he didn't stay at left tackle at Alabama was because they had Evan Neal. So he's swearing up and down, I can still play left tackle, but obviously spent the last 2 years starting at right tackle, so he fits there either. He could have a future at both. I think day one of minicamp, you'd put him at right tackle. I think obviously that's where Fuaga would go as well. Fautanu's interesting. He might, I think he'd probably compete at left tackle first. You find out if he can do it before you reluctantly move him to left guard. But his future in the NFL, right, might really be at left guard. So I wonder if they wouldn't have Penning left tackle, Fautanu left guard on the first day of camp. But since none of these guys is my clear answer at left tackle, I think if you drafted one of these guys, I think it becomes even probably more likely that you add a Mekhi Becton or an Andres Pete to have another plan at left tackle. I don't want James Hurst or Ole Udo to be my only other option at left tackle with Trevor Penning.
I just don't want, I don't want to be drafting a guard at 14. I would hate to draft a guard at 14. I mean, you know, I feel like that'd be kind of a failure of sorts. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting with him. The other two guys, like, you got the right side flex a little bit more. I don't know. It's a tough decision. I mean, look, I think no matter what, you got to, I think you have to add another vet, because like, what if your rookie just, they just seen a rookie not
right,
be ready?
Right.
Like,
what if neither Penning or that?
Like, if you burn, I don't know, a few million bucks on an expensive insurance plan at a highly volatile spot on your roster, like, so be it. Like, it's fine. Like, they've saved so much money so many other places. I would hate for them to just submarine their season, like, being cheap and making too big of a bet on Trevor Penning. I mean, I hate to put it like that, but I feel like not bringing in somebody else is kind of making a bet on him being up there.
I think part of it is we don't know what Ole Udo is. If Ole Udo is in the Pete and Becton class and they've already decided we like him just as much as those guys and he came cheaper, then maybe he's that guy. Maybe we're going to see him at right tackle on the first day of camp. The rookie's competing with him. But then even then you'd have, what, Penning competing with, what, Hurst at left tackle? No, Hurst would be at left guard. Yeah, you're right. They're probably down a guy. They're probably down a guy. I mean, like I said, I bet Landon Young's in the two deep somewhere. Saldivari's in the two deep somewhere. I don't know. But if you don't get a left tackle, then I think I want Andres Pete back, because I know Pete could maybe be a left tackle.
I want Pete back regardless, just because he has that flexibility.
I don't know if I draft a guy in the first round that I want Becton. Because Becton comes with question marks of his own. He's an absolute stud when he's healthy. Health has been a huge issue.
Out of shape.
Sometimes left tackle, sometimes right tackle. Hasn't quite happened for him. You're just adding another question mark into the mix. Now, his ceiling is way higher than Andres Pete, but if you draft a guy with the 14th pick, you've got enough ceiling. He feels more like a safety net.
I'm taking whoever's cheapest.
That's what they did with Ole Udo, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll into our last list. Say you take another player that's on the board. You miss out on some of these premier guys. Who are the possible developmental players? Right here we have Amarius Mims, and then we have Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, I think they belong in this category because you definitely can't count on either of these guys starting from day one. This is a you have to call Mekhi Becton or Andres Pete the very next day, because Guyton, look at this, started 14 career games. Now, we both really like him. Nick and I have talked about him mostly at right tackle. Some people see him as a future left tackle. He used to be a tight end. He really moves well. Amarius Mims started 8 games. The injuries have been crazy. He had his pro day today, I saw, and declined to weigh in. So I guess he's going to get to the weight later.
Yeah.
I like both of them. I mean, Amarius Mims might be a total stud if he ever gets healthy and gets right. But neither one of these guys is probably even written in pencil in my starting lineup. So now it becomes imperative, I think, that you get somebody else competing with Trevor Penning at left tackle.
Some people got Guyton above, like, Fautanu and Fuaga.
Long term,
yeah,
I really
yeah.
like
it. Some people got him fourth right there, you know, after Latham, Alu, or Fashanu and Alt. So, I mean, it's kind of, it's all in the eye of the beholder for sure. I don't know that Amarius Mims fits the Kyle Shanahan type offense. Like, when you look at the profiles of those guys, like, he just doesn't kind of fit. he refused to weigh in today at Georgia's like makeup pro day.
Not a red like, flag at all, is it?
What is that? What does that mean? Like somebody that's kind of like big and
I mean,
heavy.
I get not wanting to have that. Like he's been rehabbing from an injury. He's not in his perfect shape. I get, you know, that number sticks with you forever. Like it might still be what you're listed at 3 years from now. But still, I mean, they all came to see you. They want to know what they're looking at, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Time for the money segment.
All right.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Iron Mike, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Nick, you good?
I'm ready.
I know Mike's just coming back, so we had to, you know, make sure you straighten the fold. All right. Now it's time for our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Now that we've had some time to analyze the highs and lows of Derek Carr through his first year with the Saints and see all the other free agent deals shake out around the league, let's rank the best quarterback contract values, not the best quarterback, the best quarterback contract values in the NFC. We're not counting rookie contracts for this, so
That'd be the answer.
Yeah. What teams have the best situations when you factor in both the player and the size of their contract? Nick, we're going to start with you.
I mean, are we counting Jordan Love? Jordan Love's number one on everybody's list. So let's push him aside because he did something with the fifth-year option.
I took him off the list because, weirdly, instead of his fifth-year option, they just signed him to a one-year extension that was almost the exact same price as the fifth-year option, but it had some incentives. But basically, they got to sign a new, he's got to sign a new deal next year. He's still technically on a fifth-year option right now.
So to me, I think there is a clear number one on the list.
Let me
see if you guys agree. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think it's Jared Goff, $33 million a year. I think at that value, how he played, I think he's beaten the allegations of the mid-allegations. Like, I think he's playing at a very, very high level in an offense. And I think if you were getting this look at Jared Goff at the beginning of his career as opposed to, like, the middle, I think he'd be viewed completely differently. Yeah. So $33 million, that contract, that offense, I think he is by far. I might rank him coming off of last season, and I'm being totally honest here, and I assume people are going to call me an idiot in the YouTube comments. But I think it's the truth. I think if we're taking like Jordan Love and all those guys like on the rookie and Purdy and all them out of it, I think Goff might be the highest ranking NFC quarterback, period. Take the money value off of him coming off of last season, isolated as its own element.
The only problem with that last statement you made is not that I disagree, but I don't know if you could put Jared Goff, take him out of Detroit and the things they're doing on offense and put him anywhere else.
But I don't buy that.
But we've seen him.
I don't care, though. Like, I don't care.
We've seen Sean McVay decide, I have to pay more money for Matthew Stafford because I can't win with this guy. Like, we've seen.
I don't care, though. Like, I feel like they got more out of Goff than they got out of Stafford. Like, I don't care. Like I hate the whole system.
No, but that's
system.
What I'm saying is,
I hate the whole system thing,
I agree
though.
With that.
Like, if Malcolm Butler can be the best cornerback in the league for the Patriots and he spends his whole year with the Patriots, his whole career with them, like, who cares? Like,
but what
cares?
I'm telling you is you are now you're David Tepper now, and you're just like running ramshod through the building, and you're like, I don't care what it costs. We need one of these guys to be our quarterback. I'm tired of losing and tired of waiting for guys. Like, are you picking Jared Goff over all these guys for your Carolina Panthers? He doesn't get to bring Ben Johnson with him.
No, but if I'm Ben Johnson and I'm running the Ben Johnson offense, like, I want Jared Goff. Like, I know that he can be really, really good. He can get you all the way there. Like, if you're doing everything else right, like, I think he can get you. Yeah. He can get you to the promised land.
I definitely don't disagree with you.
And I think he kind of runs that offense like without some ego too. Like, I think he's kind of like willing to be his
kind
part
of what
within
people
it.
Want, right?
Yeah, and sometimes
coaches want,
like, certain guys have a certain level. Like, you can be sometimes, you know, your mentality might not fit what you need to run that. And I just think he is the perfect person for it. Sort of like how, you know, Joe Montana was a perfect person for Bill Walsh. Like, if you put Joe somewhere else, is Joe a four-time Super Bowl winner?
Can we change the headline of this episode?
You know what I mean?
Nick thinks Jared Goff is Joe Montana.
That's not what I'm saying, though. But sometimes, like, the perfect marriage of quarterback, coach, system, like, it all comes together. And it doesn't matter. And it's just kind of like, if you never see him anywhere else, you can sit there and say, like, you know, this person was this the whole time. But if they never change the system and we're never outside of it, sometimes you don't get that recognition. Like, if Brady doesn't start out where he starts and he doesn't grow in that system, and Charlie Weiss
is
the perfect guy, and Bill isn't the perfect.
We had a preconceived opinion of Goff before we saw this. If he had come on like Brock Purdy in San Francisco and that's all we knew of him, everybody would agree he's ranked higher. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
And look, the only asterisk I'd put on this, we have an asterisk on the graphic. I think he's on page two of our graphic with the other guys making his kind of money, which is kind of interesting. who he's with. He's right next to Derek Carr. He's in the last year of that deal. Go ahead and skip to page two, because this is a pretty interesting class that he's in. He's in the last year of his deal, so he's about to, the Detroit's about to have to pay him with the guys who are on the first page of this list. But there he is right next to Derek Carr, who is really making about $33 million a year. We don't necessarily think Derek Carr is going to see that $50 million they added to kind of inflate the average value. And Baker Mayfield, who the Bucs just had to sign. Three guys making $33-point-something million at the time they signed, who were all in kind of a similar career. Like, Derek Carr, I think I can win with him. We're not sure. Jared Goff, when he signed that deal, I think I could win with him. We're not sure. Baker Mayfield, we saw it last year, but we're not really sure. That class of quarterback costs that much money. Now, Goff proved to be worth it and more. You're definitely, and I'm not going to say Derek Carr is in the exact same class, but I think at the day Derek Carr signed his deal, he was probably in about the same career boat as Jared Goff was the day he signed that deal. And it would be a dream come true for the Saints if Carr could live up. My answer, the next best, I don't think the next best one is on this list. I mean, Carr's value seems right when you see him next to those names. It's certainly not Daniel Jones. I mean, I kind of like Geno Smith at 25 more than those guys.
So Derek Carr is your answer?
No, I think I got to go to page one on this list. And I guess I'm going to pick Matthew Stafford at 40. I mean, that one kind of probably comes with an asterisk too, because it was 40 a couple years ago when he signed it, and now he'd probably cost 50. But I like Stafford at 40, speaking of a guy who's just been perfect for the offense he's in.
Yeah, look, for the purposes of this exercise, like I took Darnold and Mariota just kind of off the list and put them in the others category.
But I'm curious, would you rather be spending $6 or $10 million on that level of quarterback, or would you rather pay this kind of money for these quarterbacks?
I mean, there's some of the guys, you know, some of them I would just rather not have on my team. But I mean, I'm not going to rank them.
You'd rather be in the $30 or $40 million.
If you
shopping.
Have Sam Darnold or Mariota, you're not trying. So like, it's not even the same. It's not even the same exercise. Like, you're not trying to have, you know. Obviously, I'd rather not have Daniel Jones. So, like, picking one of them is just not picking somebody else. You know what I mean?
Well, just since we're a Saints podcast, would you prefer paying Derek Carr $33 million over paying Darnold $10 million? Like, which reality do you want to have?
No, I don't want Sam Darnold. Yeah. I don't want Sam Darnold starting games for me. Like, you're hopeless. Fair. Like,
it's worth having that conversation, though.
Yeah. I mean, but no, I don't want it yet. Like, I think there's a chance you can, until, like, I'm convinced, like, I'd rather try to win games. Like, absolutely. And look, they might end up winning games on accident, you know.
Like Baker did last year.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I got Stafford second, and then I'm rolling right into Dak third. Yep. Same kind of value there.
The problem with Dak is he's about to get paid. Do you pay him the 50 now? That's the going rate for a quarterback? You kind of have to, right?
I'm going
to
ride it out and see what I'm not paying Dak 50. You paying Dak 50?
I'm not paying Dak 50.
You paying Dak 50?
I'm not. Not. I guess maybe I'm drafting the next guy. I got to have another plan. Otherwise, I'm paying Sam Darnold or Marcus Mariota. Like, I think Dak's as good as anyone on this list. I do. I mean, I know it hasn't happened. We haven't seen that perfect marriage. But if my choice is paying the going rate for Dak, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's probably going to get his extension this offseason. If my choice is that, or go into the great nether regions of, I don't have a quarterback, but maybe we'll find one. Let's see. Especially with the talent that Dallas has right now, you're blowing it all up if you decide to go quarterbackless. I think he gets his extension.
If Dak stays and they don't do anything, then the coach has to go. Like, something, one or the other, like, because it's not working
at
that
point. Of course.
Yeah.
Jerry, of course.
Dak at 40 would be my third, though. If I was allowed to extend him for five more years and keep it at 40 a year, I'd run to the table. I still like Dak. I'd rather have Dak for this. Stafford's older, and I think he has a shelf life. Kirk Cousins obviously has a shelf life. Murray injury questions. If the price was the same for all these guys, I'd take Dak over Goff for the Saints. Like, I think Dak's my favorite guy.
You would take Dak over Goff?
Yeah. If the Saints got to trade for one and the price was the same, I still have higher hopes for Dak. I think we've seen him flirt with the peak. I mean, Goff's been doing it for the last couple of years. I don't know that the Saints would get the same magic out of Goff.
Personally, I would go with Goff because of his resume. You know, he's been to a Super Bowl. Not rightfully so, you know. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to two NFC championships, two different teams. Dak, that's fair. It's totally Dak fair. Has had the pieces around him to be successful.
Totally fair.
And he just hasn't. For multiple reasons. You could say, oh, it was Dez on the catch and the refs and them. You could say a whole bunch of things. But I think Goff, with the constant rotation of different pieces that he's had, he's always kind of like, to your point, he's had that right kind of marriage, whether it was McVay or whether it was with Dan Campbell, to get to a certain point. And I think for this fan base, we just need stability. And I think Goff will provide that stability.
The fact that we're debating whether Dak or Jared Goff is the number one quarterback you'd rather have going forward in the NFC
tells
you a lot about the state of the NFC.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think Stafford's the best on this list. It just feels like he's got an expiration date that he's already flirting with. He came back from it last year. So who's next on the list? Ooh-wee. It's kind of a cop-out to say, you know what? I'm debating between Geno at 25 or Jalen at 51. I guess I'm going to go Geno at 25 because I think he's in the same class of quarterbacks and you're getting him a little
cheaper. Well, I got to interject before you keep cooking. You're good with Dak at 51, but you'd rather have Geno at 20. Like, you don't want Hurts at 51?
I'm not going to rank Dak at 51 next. So where were you? Best value on my list.
All right, Dak at 50, like he's way down your list, huh?
You aren't not way down. He's still in my conversation. Like right. I said, I'm almost going with Jalen now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'd move him down a little bit. So, but you put Geno at 25 above Dak at 50.
That's pretty close to. Like I said, I'm about tied with Geno at 25 and Jalen at 50, and I like Dak right there as much or more than I like Jalen. So that's all in the same case. Would I rather pay half as much for a guy that I'm a little less confident in is my debate right now. But I put Dak in the same tier as Hurts, and I put Geno in a tier below, but I'm getting him for half the price.
I think Geno 2 years ago, like if we did this last offseason, Geno would rank higher for me. I think Geno Smith is now the Andy Dalton line. Like he fell down to that. Like last year, he fell down to the point.
Was that bad?
He fell down to the point where I felt like he was kind of that line where it's like
you don't want
to
pay 25.
It's like, yeah, you got a starter if you got Geno, but the next guy you don't. You know what I mean? Like he was that barrier line of like where I kind of feel like the debate was. I don't think he carried on the momentum for me, just me personally. Yeah. I think losing Dave Canales had a very negative effect on it.
I would think a lot of Saints fans would wonder why you're higher on Carr than Geno, especially since Geno got higher. It was 2 years ago, but Geno got higher than we've seen Carr get probably ever.
Yeah.
So why do you like paying Carr 33 and not Geno 25?
I think Geno had one good season, and if you watch the two, I think you just have to say, like, was it smoke and mirrors? Yeah, because I think he was worse.
Six, 7 years.
I think he was worse last year than, and I think Carr's highs last year were higher than Geno's. I think you see the coach, and you can kind of tie it to it. I got fooled by Matt Ryan's run with Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get fooled by somebody else's. Like, I thought Matt Ryan, like, had turned the corner, and then it's like, wait, he just had the most brilliant coach in the league. It's very possible that the Panthers have that type of coach right now because we saw it with Geno. We saw it with Baker. The commonality here is the coach. So, I'm not...
No, I agree. Hey, I'm grasping at straws here.
I could be super wrong. Like, right. I could be incredibly wrong.
I'm grasping at straws here.
Maybe we should have believed the one season of Geno, but like, you know,
not that
I
believe it.
I can't put it
just
there.
That I saw it once.
Me too.
I'll pay $25 million. I mean, look, the Buccaneers just paid Baker 33 and they only saw that once. The Seahawks paid 25 for something they only saw once. It's a better value.
Yeah. For me, my next guy on my list, I went to Hurts. Like, you're paying for it, and it hurts to pay that much, but it's just at a certain point, the talent and the price, it's tough, though, because of the way their season went last year. It's incredibly hard to know if he's actually worth the $51 million. I don't know, but I think there's a good chance that he is.
You don't have a quarterback controversy. You've got your offense built around him, even though you keep changing that offense. I should say you have the ability to build your offense around him. I don't know what happened last year. I mean, this would be an easy choice for me even mid-season last year. And then they're like changing play callers and firing coaches and falling apart to where they were an easy out in the playoffs. I do not know what happened there last year, but I'd feel really good about having Jalen Hurts has limitations, but I know I can go to the Super Bowl with him, you know, and I'll pay for that. I agree. Maybe I should have ranked him ahead of Geno. You convinced me. But now I think we've reached the Derek Carr stage of this conversation. I like Carr at 33, 37 and a half, whatever you want to call it. I consider it 33 in my mind. I feel like that was really a three-year deal that's identical to the value of Baker's with more guarantees in it. I like that more than paying Cousins 45 and Kyler 46, even though I will admit that I think Kyler and Cousins are a level above Carr. What do you think?
So I'm just going to work down the list a little bit. I went Hurts, and then I went Kyler.
You like Kyler, yeah.
Kyler came back. He looked good from injury. I've always liked Kyler a lot more. I feel like if there was one story that wasn't written about Kyler, the whole perception of him would be different. But there was a story about him and his studying and Call of Duty and all that. And it just I feel like he's a higher level quarterback with really bad branding. He's just kind of viewed that way.
If I use my argument against myself, take him out of there, whatever. If you put Jalen in Arizona and Kyler in Philly, I think Kyler is a super duper star. Like, I think Kyler's more talented version of that style of quarterback than Jalen Hurts is.
I mean, people can go back and listen to our old podcast. Like, I thought Sean should have took the Arizona job because of Kyler.
Yeah.
Like, that was my personal thought. I mean, I'm higher on him probably than most people. I'm a Kyler believer.
I've got the thing that's clouding my judgment. I probably should have ranked him ahead of Jalen Hurts because I think if you're being my Carolina Panthers scenario and I'm going to trade for one of these guys, I think Kyler does have better upside. The injury is what's stuck in my head. Like, the injury could happen to any quarterback who relies on his legs, though. It just happened to happen to Kyler. It hasn't happened to Hurts yet. But I don't think that makes him more injury prone going forward necessarily. I do not hate your evaluation at all.
How you putting them? Hurts first, Kyler.
Hey, you had a good point with the Call of Duty thing because, you know, that's very important to be able to study film and be a leader of, like, your team. But you kind of do need that release sometimes just to, you know, free your mind. But
the iPad hours still got to be there, though.
You could be, like, meeting with, at the time, like, D-Hop or, you know, different things like that. But I have to roll with Hurts. He's proven he can get to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Towards the end of the season last year, it kind of fell off a little bit with different personalities, but I think it was a reality check. Like, oh, it's not so easy to be like Patrick Mahomes and be able to run it back every year. So I have to roll with the proven product and Hurts.
All right. Moving on from there, this is where it gets weird for me. The whole list kind of gets weird for me. I think I go Carr after Kyler. I struggled with it. I went back and forth between Carr and Baker at that point. But then I got to go back to the Canales thing. And if I'm going to put stock in that, yeah. I got to put the same stock in it. Going into this season, though, yeah, I mean, if you told me going into the season, and there, whether you want to say Carr's 37 or 33, I think it's that $4 million is almost a bit. They're the same tier price of quarterback at that point. So however you want to do the accounting, I think it doesn't matter if it's the same number. The number is very, very close. So it's just really, which one would you rather have? And it's your value's pretty much out of it.
I agree.
I would rather go into the season with Carr. I really would. I'd rather go into the season with Carr.
I don't think that's controversial to rank Carr ahead of Baker. Now, if Baker does it again with a new coach, then, you know, I think people quit on Baker too quickly because he was so bad in Carolina. Like, I don't know what happened there, but it was like, it was kind of a surprise when he didn't work out in Cleveland and they had to get rid of him. And then it was like, well, Carolina's going to trade for him. And then he was just awful. And they were like, we just got to get rid of this guy. And then he showed life in the Rams. And the next thing you know, he's settling for like a 1 year, $6 million deal. And that like tricked us into thinking that he had reached the Andy Dalton line. But right. Baker is more talented than that replacement level line. He's more talented than Marcus Mariota is on this list as a $6 million quarterback. And he proved that. But so if he has success without Canales this year, I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's better than Geno Smith. He's better than Derek Carr. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But I'm still going to rank Carr ahead of Baker. I think we've seen Baker fail more spectacularly than we've ever seen Carr. Heading into this year, I had Carr and Goff similar in my mind before we saw them have obviously two drastically different years. So I completely agree with that. And then Cousins, obviously, the only reason I'm ranking him lower is because he cost $45 million instead of $33 million, and he's coming off a major injury, and he's older. That's a little bit of a desperation contract, but he's a higher level quarterback than those guys.
If you tell me that Cousins is healthy, like I think I didn't rank him. I didn't know what to do with him because I don't know how to do the injury. It, like with the injury, if there's concerns, like that 45 is crazy. If the they're 45 and he's healthy, like I think you put him right in there, like around the DAC area. And I don't know, maybe behind Hurts. I have no idea where to put him because he's solid. I think if you told me Cousins at 45, Dak at 40, like, and Cousins is fully healthy and you're giving him like a loaded offense, I think it's a toss up almost, even. It's just tough to know where to put him.
And then we have Daniel Jones, obviously, last. But what's interesting about this exercise is Derek Carr is properly valued. Like, if you look at this, if you're an arbitrator and you look at this and say, what should Derek Carr be making? Derek Carr is making what he should be making. And the, you know, Kirk Cousins is making what he should be making. That's why it's way more. Dak and Jared Goff are about to probably both get paid this offseason. They're going to be, and then we will have 12 guys who are making more money than we wish we had to pay them on this list. And the question is, would you rather overpay Hurts, overpay Murray, overpay Cousins, overpay Goff, overpay Baker, overpay Carr? But we shouldn't use the word overpay because that's what they all make.
What'd we get wrong?
What did you get wrong? All right. When you say you feel like Carr is properly ranked, I'm not even going to lie. I think. I don't know. I think Carr has had his highs, but his high. I'm not trying to be negative. That's the thing.
Just say what you got to say.
I don't think Carr. Let's take another look at the list. I don't know if Carr is worth 33. I think Carr is around that Geno Smith area.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why fair. I had him higher. I'd rather pay 25. But I mean, what is Carr? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
If I knew that Geno could be what he was 2 years ago every year, he's definitely above Carr. I feel like last year we saw it come out. Like I feel like it dropped a little bit. I think it was the coach. But if he gets it back to there, I mean, absolutely. I think Geno at 25 playing at that level, I think you're moving him up like ahead of a bunch of people. Because then at that point, if he's the guy he was 2 years ago, like I'd rather have Geno at 25 and then have another $25 million to go. You can do a lot with $25 million. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We good?
Yep.
All right, guys. We're going to hit a quick break right quick. Make sure you stick around. Check out our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Shrimp remoulade combos are back at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Zesty shrimp remoulade served with fried shrimp, catfish, or softshell crab starting at $10.99. Or try one of our spring specials, catfish Lafitte, or lemon caperfish with crab meat now at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
All right, guys. Welcome back to our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. Be sure that you're subscribed to NewOrleans.football because if you're not, you're missing out on a whole lot of exclusive content that you need to get. It's time for our Hard High Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey segment. I've been monitoring the chat, telling y'all to drop y'all questions. Now it's time to deep dive into there and ask these guys what you got. All right, from Jerry G., he says, will the Saints stay at 14 and draft the OT?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's the safest bet going right now. I mean, I think there was some thought about maybe trying to get a pass catcher there or whatever, and it could always be that, you know, the tackles, there's an early run, or Brock Bowers drops, and it makes your conversation a little bit more difficult. But even then, I think that they favor getting the tackle at this point because, again, I think that there is a very high chance that we never see Ryan Ramczyk play football again. And if that's the case, you have a wide open hole and a possibly wide open hole at another spot. You don't really even have the luxury of looking somewhere else at that point. Like, you have to kind of have tunnel vision on that spot.
Look, in all the years when I've been able to get really good intel on the Saints draft, they truly, truly, really do draft. If a guy is graded higher than other players on the board, I mean, if they have a receiver that has a grade that is just a whole tier above all the offensive tackles, they will take that receiver. They need to. But if they decide offensive tackle is such a need, that's when they trade up. And they're like, we got to get into our tier one offensive tackles. The only reason I do think they can stay at 14 and draft an offensive tackle without settling is because of all the guys we listed. Right. There is just such a good chance that they're going to love one of these tackles. If they don't love J.C. Latham, they'll probably love Fautanu. If they don't love him, they'll probably love Fuaga. And if they don't love any of those three, then they'll trade up for Fashanu. There's just so many choices there that I bet it comes together. But it won't mean, oh, gosh, they settled for a guy they had a second-round grade on. They would never do that. They don't do that.
Right.
Sticking with the O-line, kind of going back to our lead topic, Lacey Cole asks, if Latham is selected, do we start him at right tackle in minicamp? And adding on to that, do we have him and Penning battle it out with another vet on the other side?
I think it's all hands on deck at that point. Honestly, I think that you do kind of just have the battle royale and kind of let it shake out. And I do think that's the point that I was making earlier. Like, I think you just get, okay, what's the best configuration? And then you kind of align the pieces how it's going to give you the best pieces on the board. I think if, you know, even if you're getting a lesser version of, like, say it's Fashanu on the right and he's your best left tackle, but your best option is him at 80% on the right, Penning on the left, as opposed to 100% on the left, and then you have to put somebody on the right that's worse than that. I think it's just what gets your best five on the field is going to be what they end up going with.
Yeah, unless they sign someone else, though. I mean, it kind of becomes pretty easy. You get Penning probably battling with Udo at left tackle, and then you probably get Latham battling with Landon Young at right tackle, which speaks to your point that they're probably down a person.
If you can get Penning on the field, though, I think that you get Penning on the field where you can, and you try to let the other guy grow.
That makes the choice easy. Spot. The choice becomes easy if you draft a guy whose most experience is at right tackle and Ryan Ramczyk's not back. Then you put the guy at right tackle because you have a gaping wide opening there for him.
Like, if you draft Fashanu and he can play on the right side and Penning is able to get on the field and be functional, I think you put him in those spots and you just keep building them up and you keep building them up, because at some point you're going to have your long-term answers on at both spots.
All right, guys, let's move on to our final segment, the Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Comes from Artro, Mike and Nick. You guys are the Saints GMs. Mickey is temporarily unavailable. What future draft capital would you use in any potential trade up in this year's draft? And for which players would you trade up for? Alt, Harrison Jr., someone in the second or third round?
First of all, Arto's a huge follower, supporter of the show, and we appreciate that. Yes. He's probably been a Martin's question of the day before, but keep bringing him because you ask really good questions. And I think it's important for you to say you put us in charge of being the GMs. We're not predicting what Mickey would do in this case. And I am not trading up in round one. As much as we like these offensive tackles, I like J.C. Latham a lot. I've really started to sell myself on him the more I've studied him. Like we said, even if we move down, I could talk myself into Tyler Guyton. I am not going to fall in love with a player enough to move up for him in this year's draft, because that would probably mean using a future first. We know how scary that is. If the bottom drops out on this team and they're giving up a top 10 pick next year, this team needs to rebuild its young talent base. So I'm just resisting the urge, disconnecting my phone lines. I'm not doing it. What I will do, though, is something like the Alvin Kamara trade that they did a few years ago. If you're doing a one-for-one swap, next year's second for a third this year, I draft in the player a year early, to steal Mickey's phrase. As long as I have a second round grade on the guy, he's still there in round three this year. I don't mind doing that to try to fill in those middle rounds. That's as far as I'll go. I'll give up next year's second to get in the early third if I love a player this year. Not messing around with those next year's first.
Where do the Falcons pick eighth? Mm-hmm. They got the eighth pick.
Yeah.
Let's just say for some weird unforeseen circumstance, like JJ gets drafted earlier than expected, yeah. and like Jaden Daniels is sitting there at 7.
Like, Jaden Daniels.
You go up to get Jaden Daniels at 7 using a future. You got to use a future first, next year's first. You go up to 7 to get Jaden and make sure the Falcons don't get him, because now you get him and you keep him away from your rival.
Well, I don't think you think the Falcons would take him after Kirk Cousins deal they just signed, but
I think they would. All bets are off
with quarterback. I don't know how high I don't know if I'm multiple first round picks high on Jaden Daniels. I honestly haven't studied him enough to have a strong enough opinion on him. But if my scouts have a high enough grade on any quarterback, that is a different discussion. I will get my CJ Stroud, and you can give me any 52 other players. I now have a future to build around and work with. For quarterback, for the right quarterback, I would that my no future first round pick mandate would go away.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you see the guy, I don't give it. Like, he's got what, three?
But I'm not
contract?
Doing that for Dallas Turner. I thought you were gonna say Dallas Turner. No. I'm like, no, I'm not trading two firsts for Dallas Turner. I don't care how good of an edge rusher.
Like, if I was the Saints last year and I just signed Carr to that contract, and everybody can think that
quarterback's different.
Yeah, everyone can think that. They could have got out after this year. They were never, ever, ever, ever under any circumstance getting out after 1 year. Like, I would take the quarterback then too. I don't care. Like, the Jordan Love situation is great. Like, I don't care if the dude's got to sit for four years. Take him Mahomes in 17. Like, I really believe that he probably would have knocked Drew off after a year or two. Like, I don't think Drew makes it to 20 with him on the team. But if he does and then he takes over, great. Like, it's a great situation. I'm cool with putting the QB on ice for 3-4 years if I got to. But,
I'm not doing it for J.J. McCarthy. Even that'll probably be about where J.J. McCarthy goes if Minnesota and Denver.
It would have to be Jaden or – I haven't watched Drake May really. Like, it would have to be one of those two, and I'm just blindly trusting what everyone says about Drake May.
It would have to be, I swear we found our CJ Stroud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that'll do it for tonight's show, guys. Be sure that you're subscribed to NewOrleans.football for all the exclusive stuff. Nick and Mike, those two guys, they have their mock draft 2.0 dropping tomorrow. Make sure you're locked in. And if you're not subbed to NOF, what are you doing?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.